Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. Your sports bros here, your sportsmen. I'm Isaac. Big Sooks right over there. And we are getting our first taste of Casey Smith.
Yes.
Today, who's done a great job filling in for the...
Are you okay over there?
I forget his nickname. Oh, the Schnitzel Wolf.
The Schnitzel Wolf, who's filling in for, God rest his soul, the late, great Ryan Buckley.
Yeah. So we're going down the depth chart here.
You did jinx.
I did, yeah.
The young man.
Well, he was perfect.
Yeah.
Until a little misfire there right at the end of that last segment. And we were just talking about him in here. Little does he know, but we were talking about him saying, wow, what a great job he's doing. And hasn't messed up one thing on the board. And I know it's not easy because it's his first time. There's a lot to know and learn. And
Sure enough.
Misfire. But that's okay. It happens, Casey. You're doing a great job. So we thank you for being here. And we already like you better than Schultzy.
Well, that's sweet.
Not if you're the Schnitzel Wolf.
I'm just kidding. I love Schultzy.
Schultzy, we love you.
That young man, he's got me wrapped around his little fat finger. All right, coming up tonight in the club, let's take a look at what we have here, Jace.
Let's do it. I got Kansas women's basketball on right now. Does that do anything for you?
Yeah, actually it does.
Rock Chalk?
Who are we playing?
Kansas City. I did not know there was a Kansas City University, but apparently there is.
Look at that zone they're playing.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you something.
Couldn't tell you.
Oh, there was a fight at a Bass Pro Shop that I'd like to talk about.
Oh, I did see this.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that tonight in the
club.
Boy,
that was a good fisticuffs right there.
There's a petition to replace Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl with this person.
Again, I've seen this story as well, and I'm not sure which one of these stories is more ludicrous. The brawl or this real petition, and why this person?
Yeah, exactly.
This is
my thought.
we'll have this discussion.
And we have People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive, and for the 50th straight year, I did not win.
Sorry.
I'm still holding out hope. Although this man is the first sexiest man alive who is openly gay.
Oh, well, there you go, and I'm sure a bunch of people are going to be pissed about that.
Well, why wouldn't they be?
Well, Paul Rudd was the sexiest man alive, and you've got some Paul Rudd vibes. If he can be it, why can't you?
I've been waiting.
I think you got to do something bigger.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
Why
does the sexiest man or woman have to be a celebrity? Why can't it just be,
I don't know. Just someone sexy?
I contend the best looking human being I've ever seen was when I was in Belize, and there's a guy down there who's like runs a scuba diving spearfishing thing. That's the best looking human being I've ever seen. Why isn't that guy he is the sexiest man on it. He's way sexier than Paul Rudd.
Have you seen the sexiest man alive this year?
I think he's that dude from Bridgerton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's pretty,
pretty damn sexy.
I understand. I'm just saying, why does the sexiest man or woman
I don't know.
Have to be a celebrity?
So the club 6 to 7, coming up here, we're going to talk about big, I was thinking about Kirk Ferentz today, but I was looking at
I like that you daydream about Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah. There was a story about JJ McCarthy and I don't know if I want to click on it.
Oh, are you talking about his alter ego?
Yes.
Yeah, I clicked on it.
You did?
I did. And
should I click on this?
Well,
it says Vikings quarterback McCarthy explains alter ego viral glare.
Yeah. He already has become my least favorite player in the NFL. He
has a game day persona named Nine.
Yeah.
A reference to his jersey number.
Yeah, and his stupid face paint that he wears. And I think he said it was something about like his anger. It's like he has all this anger and rage and he channels it through Nine. It's like when.
Yeah, he's mad about missing 23 of his first 25 NFL games due to injury. So he's now channeled that anger into an alter ego named Nine, which helps him play.
Well, and I don't want to root against anybody. Right, young man. Sure, he's a wonderful individual, and
that was a nice win.
Yeah, it was a nice win
in Detroit.
Yeah, that was a huge win in Detroit. But this is the other thing that drives me nuts: is we love narratives like this. Like JJ McCarthy was fine in that game, but most of those like their touchdown drives were all like 30 yards. The Lions just kind of S'd the bed, and the Vikings were great on defense, special teams, and were running the ball real well. So like. J.J. McCarthy, in his two victories, really hasn't done a ton, and yet we're trying to make J.J. McCarthy out to be Nine. And now we're doing things on his alter ego and his dumb anger and his face paint, and it makes me want him to not be successful so that I don't have to read articles about Nine. Just put your head down, play, and in 2 or 3 years, if you're really good, those accolades will come. But we make up narratives and we try to shove quarterbacks down people's throats, and he seems to buy into it with the face paint and again an alter ego named Nine.
Yeah, apparently he was staring intensely at Kevin O'Connell as he gave his post-game speech.
Yes,
and that went viral, and they asked him about it, and O'Connell said that he's had to learn to get the hell out of the way for my own personal safety when addressing McCarthy during those moments.
And this is the same douche. Like, he would, before Michigan games, he would go sit underneath the goalpost and just angrily stare at things because he needed a moment to himself. And by a moment to himself, he would tell everyone that he was going to go do it so that everyone would go photograph him. It's a poser move.
National champion.
Okay, yeah. Slim Shady.
Exactly. Just, hey, JJ, just lighten up. Like, dial it down like 4. Like, you're at an 11. It goes to 11. Bring it to like a 6, a 7. You know, pull a Bo Nix. Bo does a nice job of kind of that a little cocky swagger, but also understanding that you're not Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes can have a persona of 15 and wear dumb eye makeup because he's one of the greatest to ever do it. Dude, you've won 2 games.
But he doesn't really talk about it, though, Mahomes.
Like, no, he doesn't.
He just does it.
He just does it. But if he wanted a persona, if you're going to get someone to have a persona that's this douchey, Mahomes can do it. And what are you going to say?
But wait, Mahomes has a persona that's kind of douchey. As a matter of fact, I saw a list. I'll give it to you next segment. But I saw a list recently of the most hated NFL players right now.
Yeah.
And he was up there.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people don't like him, but that's just because
it's because they're really good. And
but he's got a swagger about him. Yeah. Like, and that's maybe what you're saying is, you know, when you're.
Yeah.
Just be yourself. Like, Patrick Mahomes is just himself.
Yes.
He's very confident.
Yep.
He's really good at what he does, but his little, I don't know, just.
I think it's the infeminine hips and the way he runs, and then fact that he's killing you, and that he like tells everyone great job when you hit him. I get why he gets under your skin, but mostly just because he's that good.
But he doesn't have to have an alter ego.
No.
He's just him.
Yes.
That's.
JJ is on the verge.
That's maybe your point.
He is on the verge of becoming Mr. Unlimited. And teammates see through this crap.
Mm.
And it just, it's a real fine line. Like the idea. I have to learn
that's
this.
Real slander right there.
I have
comparing him to Russell Wilson.
It's true. And if you talk to anyone that played with Russell, this stuff doesn't play well. People put up with it when you're winning.
Mr. Unlimited.
Be real careful with the tough guy thing. I have to learn to get out of his way. I mean, come on.
Really? Broncos orange, let's ride.
Really? Nine?
Hey, Seattle.
Here's the quote. McCarthy said, I kind of love feeding that wolf. Because my entire life at the University of Michigan, there was a smiley face on my hand. And if you smile and you have fun, you're going to play better and all that, which is true. But I also think there's a lot of power that comes from that built-up anger that you can transmute into your performance. Go Vikings.
Yeah, go Vikes. The Vikings are a good story. I like their coach. And I just, he's making it hard for me to pull for him.
Kirk Ferentz is a unicorn. We'll get to that next on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
One last thing on 9. You can't have an alter ego when your quarterback rating is 73 and you have 4 touchdowns and 4 picks. You're not allowed to have an alter ego.
Who is allowed to have an alter ego? You know?
88 and above, you can have an alter ego. Cam Newton had the Superman thing. That's fine, Cam. You want an MVP.
Doesn't Baker Mayfield have one?
I don't know. He has that Gus guy.
He's just a dog.
He got that dog in him. But you can't have 4 touchdowns and 4 picks and be like, I got my alter ego 9. Those 4 interceptions, that was J.J. McCarthy, but the 4 touchdowns, that was 9. Also, you can't weigh like 107 pounds and then tough guy stare people. Also, when you're brittle and you miss a lot of games, also hard to do the tough guy stare. Brett Favre, tough guy stare. That guy played like 15 years and didn't miss a game. You want to have a tough guy stare in your Wranglers while playing some Tommy Copper football? Sure. JJ, play more than 2 games in a row and then angrily stare at someone while wearing your alter ego paint.
I do have a list here of the 10 best alter egos in sports.
Please.
9 is not on the list.
I wouldn't think
not
so.
Not yet.
No.
It says here, Richard Sherman, Optimus Prime, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, Lance Armstrong was the Boss.
Was he?
Conor McGregor, the Notorious.
Yeah, I could see that.
Russell Westbrook, the Brody.
What?
It says that represents his fierce, relentless approach.
Okay.
Never heard of that.
The Brody?
Brian Dawkins was Weapon X.
Yeah, he did the Wolverine thing. And again, I'm not going to say anything to Brian Dawkins. That dude was a killer.
Tyler Seguin, Murderface.
Yeah, he's a hockey player.
Christy Yamaguchi, the killer.
What? The Gooch was a killer? It's like the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah, apparently the killer dominated the ice with intensity and precision.
Some weird, like, Chaz Michael Michaels Blades of Glory stuff there.
So they're saying Yamaguchi's alter ego reflected the fierce determination beneath her serene exterior. She was the killer.
Okay.
So I have the top 2 here.
Yeah.
Can you think of the best sports alter ego?
Sports alter ego? I'm trying to think of someone like
Megatron.
I mean, half of those I don't even know. I've never even
heard of. Was
that
a nickname or an alter ego?
Yeah, I don't know really the difference.
Because it's hard to tell.
Yeah, right?
So number 2 is the Black Mamba.
Oh.
Kobe.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
And, yeah, exactly. Like, and you may think Kobe's a douche or was, you know, not everyone.
R.I.P.
Dude, that guy, again, if you're going to get away with an alter ego, who was at the Barnes when he was trying to throw the ball at him and he didn't flinch? Like, Kobe can get away with that. He wants to call himself Black Mamba, be my guest. Like, that one is earned.
And then number 1, they have Deion Sanders Primetime.
Again, greatest corner to ever play, backed it up, sure.
Yeah, and he just had that showmanship.
And those two were clearly well-deserved, and it didn't feel forced. That's just, that was them.
So how long before 9 overtakes them? A couple weeks?
Again, get a quarterback rating above 73, and maybe we'll talk.
All right. Where were we? Kirk Ferentz was watching his press conference today, mm-hmm. talking about Oregon. Shockingly, he was very complimentary of Oregon.
Yes. Well, and why wouldn't you be? Oregon's a good team.
Well, I know, but all the coaches, it's... When I watch coach press conferences, it's stunning how they all sound the same. Like, I would just like them to be maybe a little original in their praise of their opponent.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, a lot of really good guys on both sides of the ball. And I tell you, they're really talented, really fast, really big, really well coached. Yeah. And Lenny, you know, he's done a great job there. That offense is really tough to stop. I mean, they all sound the same.
Yeah.
So I just want a little.
Yeah, you want some originality. You're not going to get it.
Just anything.
You're not going to get it. We got the Mike Riley that one time that was like, I think we're playing the varsity this week. That was kind of, you know, was some original stuff.
What a legend that guy was.
I love me some Mike Riley.
Anyway, thinking about Kirk and.
I think we're playing the varsity.
You know, that guy is a unicorn. Absolute unicorn.
Yeah.
Maybe Kyle Whittingham is a comp.
I think those might be the two longest running coaches in college football, are they not?
But Ferentz, he is mostly one of one.
Mm-hmm.
He went, so I went back and looked at his record. He went 4-19 his first two seasons at Iowa. But they stuck with him.
Which, by the way, in a lot of places,
yes,
that
he's
just,
gone.
You're gone.
It's the same thing as the Mike Krzyzewski story at Duke, right? They, he was terrible early, and they wanted to run him out of there, and they stuck
with him. He always said that if he was a modern-day coach, the Duke thing would have never happened. He would have been fired.
So he went 4-19. They stuck with him, and he has gone to 22 bowl games in 25 seasons since. And he has done it without any stars, for the most part, or any semblance of offense. You know?
No.
Like, it's amazing what he has done.
They have tight ends. A lot of tight ends.
But they never have a good offense.
No. They do not.
Like, it's stunning. So, I was wondering if there was a lesson in there for the Oregon States of the world. Because Iowa knew they had to be different.
Yes.
You know? And they knew they couldn't compete with the Ohio States and the Michigans of the Big Ten. And so they pivoted, and they created an identity. They found their guy, and they stuck with that guy, and he stuck with them. And isn't the success of Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, isn't it a lot about the school committing to him and sticking with him? Take notes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you're Oregon State, like, this is how it's done. In this day and age of, well, for a school like Oregon State, it's not always how it's done. It doesn't have to be how it's done. A lot of schools don't have to do it this way. But if you're Oregon State looking for a coach, you do have to do it this way. And what I'm getting to is a name that is being thrown out there that I think is the closest thing to Kirk Ferentz that Oregon State can get, or a Kirk Ferentz type of hire.
Yeah.
Somebody who's going to be there,
mm-hmm.
somebody who's going to be good.
Yep.
If you commit to him, he'll commit to you,
yep.
and he's going to have an identity. He's a good coach. You know what you're getting.
You weather the storm, and you understand that the ceiling is not going to be, you know, you're not going to be a national championship
exactly.
team.
Exactly, and that's the thing. That's a great point. Talk to anybody at Iowa.
Yeah.
And they have a good fan base there.
Yeah.
They're not winning a title.
Nope.
Never have.
Nope.
Never will. I don't even think they've won the Big Ten in his 30 years there.
I think they've won his half of the Big 12 or the Big Ten. Yeah. I think they've won it 3 or 4 times.
They've been in the Big Ten title game, but they have not won it.
No, but I think they ended up in a Rose Bowl because the team that won the Big Ten went and played in the national championship, I believe.
It's a duly noted point that when you have a case of the supposedas is when you get in trouble.
Yes.
Iowa does not have a case of the supposedas.
Nope.
They're happy that they're going to win 8 to 11 games every damn year.
Yes.
And some years have been off. He had, like I said, he had the two losing seasons right off the top. He's only had one losing season since then.
Well, and this is what we're...
And every once in a while he wins 6 or 7.
Yes.
But generally speaking, he's won 12.
Yep.
He's won 11. He's won 10. And that's good enough for Iowa.
Amen. We were talking about this just a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the coaching carousel and having some realistic expectations. And when you look, I couldn't agree more with you than on something like this. Because at a lot of places, right? So Kirk Ferentz, he went 9-4, 11-2. They went to the Orange Bowl, right? And if that happened at most places, you'd be like, well, here we go. We've arrived. This is it every year. And then he proceeded to go 8-5, 7-6, and 4-8. Most places he's fired after 4-8.
Mm-hmm.
right? You're like, wait, we went, we were 11-2. We were in a national title window. Wait, and now we've won 8-7-4. We've gone down every year. We got to get rid of him. And they didn't. In fact, they weathered 8-5, 7-6. And then you know what happened? 12-2 in the Rose Bowl. They've weathered, actually, it looks like they've weathered two or three separate storms during his time there where they had two or three years straight of losses going down and they stayed the course. And so many programs from Illinois to Oregon State to BYU is one of these schools, Arizona State. You should realize you are not Ohio State. You never will be. And if, like you said, find the guy. And if he's willing to commit to you, ride through those storms. Now, granted, if he loses 5-6 straight years.
Well, sometimes you know and you got to make a move.
Yes.
Trent Bray, you knew you had to make a move.
Yes.
But sometimes you have a good coach and they just have a couple of bad cycles.
Yes.
It happens.
Yes.
If you believe in your heart of hearts that is your coach, stick with them through the bad cycles. Like, Iowa should be given a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Because I remember when they signed Kirk Ferentz. Remember they signed him? It was like, back then, it was like $5 million a year.
It was like a lifetime deal.
And everybody's like, what the hell are you doing? Kirk Ferentz. Well, they knew what they were doing.
Yep.
And they're the only ones that have done this. Like I said, I think the closest comp is probably Kyle Whittingham.
Kyle Whittingham, or maybe what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State.
Yeah, that's a good one, Bill Snyder. But I just think Iowa deserves a lot of credit. I think Kirk Ferentz deserves a lot of credit. We don't really talk about it. We sort of take it for granted. But it's been going on for 25 to 30 years. They have the same damn team. Yep. And they're tough. No, they're not winning championships. But they're okay with that.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot of lessons in there. And I also think it's an underrated element of finding a guy at the Iowas or the Oregon States that you have to find someone who will stay no matter what, or for the most part would stay no matter what, because a texter brought up Jonathan Smith, and that's a good point.
Well, to be fair,
you thought you had Jonathan Smith
but
forever.
Then the Pac-12 died, and had maybe the Pac-12 stayed?
Right. I think that was extenuating circumstances.
Maybe you did.
But, okay, so this leads me to the next segment, and I was I happened to get a text from someone today, Dave Bartu, who is touting this guy.
Okay.
And I think he has a lot of Kirk Ferentz vibes.
And Dave, by the way, is not in this one. Dave has been involved with programs in their searches for coordinators and coaches.
If I am an athletic department, we were talking about this yesterday with regards to what LSU and all these ADs, like, how are these ADs even qualified to find a football coach?
Yeah.
They're like shooting needle in a haystack. Like, I don't know. I don't think any of them know what the hell they're doing. And that's evidenced by all these buyouts being paid for these fired coaches. They never get it right. Or if they do get it right, it's not someone who was a household name. Kurt Cignetti wasn't. Dan Lanning wasn't. Marcus Freeman wasn't. Kalani Sitake wasn't. Joey McGuire wasn't.
Nope.
Ryan Day wasn't. Like, pay attention. So this guy, Bartu, if I'm an AD or if I'm an athletic department in general, I'm hiring Dave to help me run through some numbers about how good these coaches are. He's got a lot of numbers that sort of quantify how good a coach is. And there is a guy that he texts me about today that I think is the closest thing to Kirk Ferentz for Oregon State.
I'm intrigued.
And I do believe that they should go this route, which is not to say that what you have been saying about what Oregon State should do is not good. I just think the young offensive guy, the second he has success, he's out the door. You need to think differently. And this may be the guy. I don't know how many people are going to agree with it, but we'll get to that when we come back. But first, here's Casey with Sports Center.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're talking about Kirk Ferentz and what a unicorn he is. And credit to Iowa and their athletic department. They've been really the only school besides, you know, maybe you could say Utah. But they've just approached their college football head coaching position completely differently than the rest of the entire college football world. And they took a lot of heat for it initially, but that has really worked out for them.
Yeah.
Even though they haven't won a Big Ten title or a championship.
They've split two Big Ten championships. They've been to some BCS bowls, been to a Rose Bowl.
Well, they're relevant every year.
And they're relevant. And I think that's what it is they're one of the programs that has decided that reaching for the top, you're probably never going to get there. And by constantly reaching for it, you're going to end up in the basement a lot, as opposed to the steady Eddie. We know who we are and we're happy with who we are. And not many programs are willing to do that. And is there something about maybe the fans, like Midwestern sensibilities and knowing that there's limitations? And
yeah, maybe I think that's some
maybe
of it.
You can't do that in bigger places.
You have to, but Oregon State isn't a big place.
No.
You have to know who you are. And they do know that. That's part of what I'm saying here is you got to be honest with your expectations and what you are. Yeah. And if Oregon State isn't, this is going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
But they know what, you know, I mean, they know the situation that they're in.
I hope so.
And Iowa, I think, definitely has a very good sense, and they did way back when they hired Kirk Ferentz, of what they are and what they want to be.
Yeah.
And it worked. Mm-hmm. So if you have that, you have a chance. So here is the Kirk Ferentz of Oregon State, according to Dave Bartu. Now, you have been touting the young offensive guy, like the guy from Sac State.
Yeah, or you know, you go up. I would love to go find I just always say go find someone, the North Texas guy that runs a fun, exciting offense, Nick Rolovich, that'll put asses in seats, that even if you're losing games for a year or two, they're gonna be entertaining games.
Yeah, and I'm good with that, but I just think the problem there is that the second they have success, they're out.
Yeah.
And when I say Kirk Ferentz, that doesn't mean you have to have a crappy offense.
Yeah.
I'm talking about just a older, stable guy.
Approach.
Yeah, well, I mean, how old is Kirk Ferentz? Because
70.
He's 70. So 70. When they hired him, he was in his 40s, right?
He's been there a long
time. So he was a young hire at the time. So that's how long he's been around. The guy that Bartu is touting is Paul Chryst. And this is from College Football Matrix Analytics. And by the way, if you don't know Paul Chryst, he's used to coach at Oregon State under Mike Riley.
He was at Wisconsin. Did a nice job at Wisconsin.
He was the head coach at Wisconsin.
Yes.
And in a very, you know, and he did a good job there, much like Kirk Ferentz is doing at Iowa. But they have unrealistic expectations, and he got fired.
Well, it's funny because Wisconsin had been a little bit of this model, like what we had talked about. And, you know, the whole Gary Anderson, like Brett Bielema left. Barry Alvarez kind of stepped in, and there were some people that thought that Wisconsin kind of lost their way after that, and they kind of got too big for their britches, and since then, they've kind of cycled through some people. But Paul Chryst took over, and he went 10-3, 11-3, 13-1, 8-5, 10-4, 4-3, 9-4, got off to a 2-3 start, blew him out.
That's unbelievable.
Yes.
That is way better than I even thought. So here's what College Football Matrix Analytics said about Paul Chryst. This is from Dave. Paul Chryst has 11 years of head coaching experience with a coach rating index of 69.8%. That is top 25% in all of FBS since 2010. His closest comp is Steve Sarkisian. He would also be the highest graded coach in the new Pac-12. So what is not to like about Paul Chryst, unless you're like, oh, seen him before, or doesn't blow my hair back, or he's older. I don't even think he's that old. I think he's maybe in his 50s.
I'll look it up.
You know what I mean? Like,
He's 59.
Okay, so he's older than
I thought. A little older.
But if you have realistic expectations, I don't know why any Oregon State fan would not think Paul Chryst would be a good hire for them.
I can't disagree with that. Now, again, I'm of the go young, new identity, young, sexy. But again, when his name got brought up, that is one of those, I don't know why. And this, is there something, why is he not a head coach somewhere?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's the thing that I just kind of I kind of scratched my head about, because when his name got brought up, we talked about this. Maybe you were gone. This might have been while you were gone. But his name got brought up, and when you look through the record, there was a little like, man, that's kind of weird. But the fact that he hasn't reemerged, he was like a special assistant with Sark at Texas, and now I don't think he's anywhere. So if you are looking for more stability in a guy that will be there for 7-8 years, because again, going down my road, if successful, he will not be there past 3 or 4 years. I just was hoping for someone that could kind of bring you into the new Pac-12, stabilize your program a little bit, and then maybe leave it in a much better spot. Whereas Crist could be the guy that maybe is there for 10 years.
That's my whole point, is that he'll be there as long as you want him.
You would think.
And programs are taking this approach. You know, Indiana just did this.
Yeah,
and it may not work out. Look, I know everybody thinks Cignetti's the bee's knees this year, but in 5 years, it may not be going that well at Indiana.
Yeah.
But you know what Indiana just said?
They committed to him.
We'll go through that trouble with him. We'll stick with him.
And I hope they do.
Oregon has done that with Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
Iowa was the first to do it.
Although it is easy to do when you're taking a program from nothing and now you're in national title contention, or Dan Lanning. It's a little harder to do with someone at Iowa or Wisconsin or something like that, or certainly Oregon State.
What do you mean it's harder?
It takes more of a leap of faith, because when Cignetti takes a program that's never won Jack S and in back-to-back years has them in the College Football Playoff, I think it's a lot easier to take that leap of faith as opposed to someone, let's say Paul Chryst comes in and wins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wins 7 games, 8 games, 8 games, and then say, hey, and then he wins 4 and be like, you know what? I understand you won 4. You're doing something here. That's a harder leap of faith.
Of course it is. But what I'm saying is that it's a smart, it is smart for these schools to do that. Like, Indiana is better off taking 3 bad Kurt Cignetti years and sticking with him than firing him and trying to find the next Kurt Cignetti.
Yes.
And that's what Iowa has done. Yep. And I think more schools are seeing this approach, particularly with all these huge buyouts they don't want to pay.
Yeah.
And I think Paul Chryst fits that mold. Yeah. Jonathan Smith would maybe fit that mold if he were to be fired at Michigan State to come back to Oregon State. I don't know if he would come back to Oregon State, but I think that's another guy that would be one where you could just say, hey, we're going to commit to you, man. We're with you.
Like, I wonder this. Like, Florida hired Dan Mullen, who had done a really nice job at Mississippi State. And he gets to Florida. He goes 10-3 and 11-2. Goes to 2 New Year's Six Bowls. And then goes 8-4 and 5-6, and they blew him out. And since then, like, what have you done? And now you're back in that, who are we going to hire? I wonder if Florida had a little hindsight to look back and be like, maybe you should. And by the way, Dan Mullen's now 6-2 at UNLV. I wonder if
he seemed like a good coach when he was there.
You wonder if you're just like, dude, that's amazing. Yeah. It's 1 year.
It's 1 year.
It's 1 year.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, credit to Iowa for doing it the way they've done it. And maybe Oregon State, I don't know, maybe they'll figure that out, because they can't. You ain't competing with Oregon anymore. You're just not.
No. So you're right. Go find the stability. Yeah. I mean, I can see the argument of going to find the stability guy. I totally see where you're going with
that. So
remember
I was going to tell you the list of the most hated NFL players right now?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes is number 2.
Now, is this players or fans voting?
It's on Ranker, so it's fans.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Not players.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
you know how Ranker works. You upvote.
Yes, you upvote. And that's just because he's good, and seemingly the whole ref thing and...
Well, that's fans, though.
He's got an annoying family a little bit, but...
I mean, nobody liked Tom Brady when he was winning.
It's true.
So we'll get to that coming up next to wrap up the hour here on 105.1 The Fan.
Pumping.
All right, the club is moments away. You've made it to another Wednesday club.
Thank God.
God. But I have this list here. I saw it on Ranker. Mm-hmm. It pertains to nothing, but it's the most hated NFL players.
That's what we do here. Is right JJ McCarthy on that list?
Most hated right now. No. He hasn't. 9.
9 is.
Is on the list, but not JJ McCarthy. Yeah, he hasn't done enough yet. But number 5, well, Tyreek Hill is number 6.
Makes sense. He's a garbage human being.
Number 5 is Dak Prescott. Okay, really? And this is on Ranker, so this is just fans.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just because the coverage of the Cowboys. But
yes, it's Cowboys quarterback is always going to be polarizing.
Like, Dak, by all accounts, is a really good person, doesn't get in trouble. You know, he's a hell of a quarterback. He's the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. It's the only reason to hate Dak Prescott.
Number 4 is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, makes sense.
I thought he would be higher on the list. Number 3, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and again, just exposure, right?
Yeah, and winner, Chiefs.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There's a lot to hate.
Sure. But again, doesn't seem like he's a...
No.
You know.
No.
Like, I get why you hate Aaron Rodgers. I get why you hate Tyreek Hill. Kelce just may not be everyone's cup of tea, but I, you know, hate is a strong word.
Gronk, you remember Gronk?
I do remember Gronk.
Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
The Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody loved him because he was so gregarious.
Yes.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
Kelce's not really that. Even because I was thinking, well, maybe it's just the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But no, when the Patriots were winning, people still loved Gronk.
Yeah, Gronk was a lovable idiot, whereas
Kelce's a little more edgy.
Yeah, I get it.
Number two is Patrick Mahomes, as I mentioned.
And that is solely based on, you know.
Well, I think he's great.
Yes.
I like Patrick Mahomes, and I enjoy watching Patrick Mahomes. He does not bother me whatsoever.
He's so good.
But I can see why he may bother some people.
I just think, I think the idea that the refs are always supposedly bailing him out. You know, like the fake run out of bounds. He's always trying to draw penalties. Again, and he kills you. It doesn't look like he should, but he does. And I think that drives people crazy. And then, of course, his brother and his wife and some of that stuff isn't his fault.
Yeah, I wonder if that stuff sticks to him, too.
I think it does a little bit. And again, just the exposure thing.
Chewing on
the,
his mouthpiece.
Yeah,
but like
he's so good.
And number one on the list of most hated NFL players right now.
I'm trying to think of who would be the most hated. It's not like Russell Wilson, is it?
No. You're close, though. Deshaun Watson. And that stands to reason.
No offense. Like, you can dislike Russ all you want. He's not Deshaun Watson. Not Deshaun Watson.
Also on the list, Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know why.
He's like...
What's his problem?
Yeah, he's a TikTok guy, and, you know, he rubs people the wrong way, that he's not real serious. Maybe he was posting videos from locker rooms that he's not supposed to. And
you also have Stephon Diggs, which I totally get.
He's another rough dude.
Seems annoying. Yep. George Pickens, Jalen Ramsey, Kareem Hunt, and Harrison Butker. By the way, Russell Wilson, 13th on the list.
Oh, okay.
So he is on the list.
Mr. Unlimited.
Davante Adams. That's
really
a weird one.
Davante Adams?
Yeah, he seems like a good dude. Trevor Lawrence, hated.
I think some of that may be the overhype. Like, he came in as, you know, this generational player, and he has not certainly been a generational player.
Well, he has kind of a punchable face, if we're being honest.
I could see that.
Long, you know, flowing Fabio hair.
Sure.
Anyway, I don't know why I brought that to your attention, but I did.
Hmm. Well, Deshaun Watson one, that's a...
So you're welcome.
That's an easy layup. And like Kareem Hunt, same thing. It was like, he's had some domestic violence stuff, and... You know,
well, at least they're paying attention.
At least they're paying attention.
And upvoting the perps.
Well, I find it weird. Like, if you have a Tyreek Hill jersey on, like, I mean, I get it. It's, you separate the sports from the people, but he's just a terrible guy. He's a terrible teammate, too. I just find that weird. That, like, especially, like, if you're a girl, like, you're buying a Tyreek Hill jersey for your daughter. Or your wife's like, Tyreek Hill's my favorite player. I'm like, what?
Is anybody doing that?
Oh, yeah. Well, when Deshaun Watson got signed by the Browns, there were tons of women that were wearing Deshaun Watson jerseys. They were making fun of the situation. Like, the sports washing thing is, it's real. If they think you can help win games, fans are willing to overlook just about anything. Wait till Henry Ruggs, by the way. I don't know if you know this, but Henry Ruggs could get out of prison next year, and they are letting him train. He is going to attempt a comeback.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with Josh. Well, I guess Josh Jacobs is really tight with him.
Do you think shouldn't he be? I mean, he served his time, right?
Served his time.
Well, I mean, is there?
I would not want to root for Henry Ruggs, nor would I want him on my team. But that's just me. Does he have every right to do it? Yes. But the idea of wearing that man's jersey would bother me immensely. And I can only imagine the feelings of the family of that poor lady that he barbecued alive with his beyond idiotic actions, and then seeing him and people celebrating him and wearing his name and jersey while my daughter was burned alive. Yeah. No offense to Henry Ruggs, but F you.
All right. I have late breaking hockey news, if you'd like.
I did see this. This is a big
deal.
Oh, you
did? Yeah, this is a big deal.
I mean, it's a monster deal.
Yeah. Alex Ovechkin is the first NHL player with 900 goals.
Probably will never.
How about that?
This is Cal Ripken, yeah, streak, Lou Gehrig. Like, this will not be touched. This is, I'm just trying to think of, like, what was Bonds, what did Bonds end up with for the home runs?
56?
55? 55? This would be Barry Bonds.
762.
Ah. This is Barry Bonds hitting 800. I mean, he already broke. Last year, he broke Gretzky's record. 8 and some change. But getting to 900, this would be like when Bonds... When your record starts with a number that no one else has touched, this is... Yeah,
be like Bonds getting to 8,
yeah,
you said?
This is Bonds getting to 800 home runs.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, this is... There is no debate. And the greatest goal scorer, not the greatest player... That is not, but the greatest goal scorer, there is no debate, it is Alex Ovechkin.
All right, let's get to the club. I forgot what I teased. Do you remember? Anybody remember?
We had a couple things that we teased.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Mm. I don't remember what it was, though. That's my problem. How good of a host am I?
God bless America.
Let me look at my notes
here.
Oh, I know. The Bass Pro Shop fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that was just as bad.
I got it here. Yeah. See, it's a good thing I have notes.
Got notes. Award winning.
I'm an old man.
Award winning notes.
Forget things. The petition to replace Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl with this artist. That's coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.